Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast today. The longest serving governor in the state of Nevada's history, Bob Miller, joins us for the whole show on an all new Nevada Newsmakers.
Hello, is this D&D Roofing?
Yes, it is. How may I help you?
You did such a great job on my roof. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner.
Oh, can I speak to your supervisor?
Sure.
How may I help you?
I love your work. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner. We're all owners. Well, that's why at D&D we work so hard to keep your home safe and sound.
Oh, no wonder.
D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal. Local, employee-owned, here for you.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done and look to your future success. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are delighted to welcome back to the program after a long absence, former Governor Bob Miller. He was governor of the great state of Nevada from January of 89 to January of 99. Pleasure to have you back on the program, Governor.
My pleasure. Good to see you.
So one of the reasons I wanted to invite you onto the program was that during your time, you were the longest and probably will be forever the longest serving governor in Nevada, 10 years. During your time, you went through a massive financial crisis that you and your chief of staff, Scott Craigie, had to work your way through. Tell us what precipitated the crisis and what you had to do to get the state back on track, because it was not pretty.
Well, it was a recession. It had come to light after the legislature had sine died in that particular time frame. It became evident that it was going to be significant in terms of the lack of resources we had. Not anything compared to what we're going to see in the future, but short term here, I think, but very significant. I opted to first put some hiring freezes in place to try and prepare us and not have to let go any employees, et cetera. After the legislature had gone and it became evident that the amount of money we're going to be short, we started going through all the budgets and ordering that there be reductions in all, basically across the board, but with some protections for law enforcement, prisons, et cetera, public safety necessity. We also, ironically, put some savings in or kept the percentage lower for mental health, which we increased, although that constituency group was the most vocal in their criticism of the budget reductions. I opted to do it individually rather than call a special session of the legislature, because I felt like if you brought back another 63 people when you have 64 of us trying to decide what happens where and when, we're going to be much more difficult accomplishing goals. And obviously there was going to be criticism and people would be concerned about that, but it might as well come to me anyhow because I was the governor and felt I had that responsibility. We put it in place and our bond rating stayed the same, whereas California's was modified 3 times during that same time frame. They said we had acted decisively, and that characterized the bond ratings.
What level of unemployment existed at that point, at the worst level?
Yeah, I don't remember the exact level of unemployment at that time. It wasn't as dramatic as I think we're presently experiencing. But nonetheless, there was a need to reduce governmental spending. And the other option would have been to try and raise more revenue, but that was not feasible at that time.
What was the toughest decision you had to make during that period?
Possibly that one. There were a few. What to deal with the Rodney King aftermath riots that we had in Southern Nevada, how to keep the community calm, how to utilize the National Guard to try and restrain people from getting out of the area where they were having violent protests. The workman's comp shortfall we had, multi-billion dollar shortfall, required restructuring of the whole workman's comp system, which is private now and was public at that point in time. And probably there were some others. Most difficult decisions probably were how to balance being at my children's events and activities and still be everywhere else if possible.
As you look at the current situation, he probably hasn't asked for it yet, but if you were going to give some advice to Governor Sisolak, what would you say to him?
Well, first of all, I start with the premise that I think most of my predecessors and successors, for that matter, have followed, and that is that the governor is the governor, and I'm not any longer that person and don't need to be whispering in his ear. I did say to him in a text message that I had faced numerous things, having coffins on the lawn with the budget cuts we just talked about, having the riots, having the shortfalls and workman's comp. But you put all those together, they don't amount to as significant an issue as the governor is dealing with right now. And I think he's doing a fine job, especially placing healthcare and medical and scientific advice ahead of those who prefer to ignore it.
If you were in his place now, and I know you're not giving him advice, I'm just asking you know what your thoughts are, would you, as Senator Kekefer has suggested, immediately call a special session to deal with the budget for the rest of this fiscal year and then the ongoing budget for next fiscal year? Because if that doesn't happen, according to Senator Kekefer, we're going to be even in worse shape.
Well, I think I gave a pretty good hint with your first question, and that was that I didn't call a special session. It wasn't as long-term dramatic as this one will be. But I think that the governor has his attentions focused where they need to be on and how does we protect the health and safety of our citizenry and then regenerate in a sensible manner the precautions that are necessary to reinstill the economy and yet at the same time protect us from this deadly virus. I think he will have to, in all likelihood, call a special session at some point, but at least from my own personal perspective, I hope that his energies and efforts are concentrated more right now on what we need to do to find that balance coming forward.
Are you comfortable with the fact that at this point in time, that we are seeing the bed space in the hospitals being freed up? We are seeing the usage of ventilators dropping. We had the head of University Medical Center on the program a couple of weeks ago, and it was already occurring at that point in time, to the point where now the governor has said that we can go ahead with elective surgeries. Do you think that there is room to start opening up the economy more than we have so far?
Well, I think we're fortunate. I think Governor Sisolak put into place the stay-home provisions and closing of many of the businesses at a relatively early stage. We, like every other state, are struggling to get all the personal protective equipment, despite the messages we get from the White House. They're just not true, and we are in need of some. other states perhaps more so than us, but you know, there's a shortfall. Fortunately, that the early manner and broad approach that the governor approached has kept us from having critical components of our hospitalization overloaded. My wife, Sandy, who people might remember, happens to be the chairman of the board of the hospital in Southern Nevada, and gets updates from them. And they were, you know, very concerned and very cautious about, as an example, about what was necessary going forward, whether there was going to be an onslaught of persons coming in with the viral needs, whether they needed to curtail elective surgeries. And all that is coming back right now. But I think we're in a unpredictable bubble at the moment, because as you see reopening of businesses and some people who don't want to have social awareness, social prevention, what effect is that going to have? Are we going to have another spike because we're not taking the same precautions, or is it going to level out? And I don't think anybody can predict that just yet.
Is there a balance that should be looked at by government in terms of, you know, the effects of the virus and the effects on the economy? Because, you know, we had Chris Hicks on the program, the Washoe County District Attorney, and he was talking about the increase in domestic violence incidents, the increase in problems happening in the home with children. You know, with businesses collapsing the way they are, do you have concerns that there needs to be a balance between what we do in terms of the virus and what we do in terms of social terms?
Well, there absolutely needs to be a balance, and I don't think anybody can predict exactly what it is right now. You know, obviously in New York State, they've been hit the hardest, and we are not immune either. Some of the more rural states have had less of an impact. But there is, you know, we have, so is it 60,000 people in the hotel industry that are unemployed or at least are on furloughs right now. How you reinstitute that, how you make people comfortable coming back into our primary businesses, making them feel safe, making the workers feel safe, is going to be a gradual process. And I don't think... you can ignore the fact that we can't forever stay at home, or there will be no economy whatsoever. So when and how much is the test that's going forward? You know, we can see some of the other countries and use those as a measurement, especially in Europe, et cetera. Recently, I know Governor Cuomo of New York pointed out that the influx of COVID-19 in the East Coast came from Europe, not China. We look at a lot of countries in Europe where the president says, gee, we're way ahead of those, but we're way behind a lot of others. And it's disturbing that about one third of the cases worldwide are in the United States. That shouldn't be the case if we'd been better prepared and we reacted at a national level faster and more thorough than we have.
And there is discussion, and there certainly was over the weekend on the Sunday shows, that this is not just an issue that the current president ignored to an extent, but something that the information was available to George W. Bush, was available to Barack Obama, and to the current president, and none of them took the action that was necessary. But isn't that what typically happens when you don't don't have an emergency, that there are plenty of things to spend money on, so you don't tend to go, well, we could have a pandemic next week, so we should, you know, stock up on everything?
Well, I don't know the level of information that was provided to Presidents Bush or Obama. You know, they're obviously we weren't adequately prepared. And it was clear that President Trump had a lot of information about the imminency of this situation and chose to not take actions, delayed the process, and likes to say that he was expedient in doing it, but the reality, he was anything but expedient, and it has caused us to be probably possibly the worst country in terms of the responses we made. And I think that this administration has tried to be take actions that first ignored the fact that there were, gave false information about the extent of it, kept saying that we were going to have all the testing we need. We still don't. You know, it was going to be in a few days, and that was months ago. They seem to be on an agenda to just keep the economy good because he thinks that's going to help him in his presidential bid. And that's unfortunate because there's a lot of scientists and medical professionals that come out with clear messages that that can't be the primary motivation.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back more with former Governor Bob Miller after this timeout.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
Ahern Rentals began as Signal Gas Station on Las Vegas Boulevard. Founder John Ahern grew the business by offering rentals. His son Don built on John's legacy, growing Ahern Rentals into the largest independently owned American rental company with 89 locations in 30 states. Don also brought his experience and vision to equipment manufacturing with Extreme Manufacturing and Snorkel. Today, Ahern Rentals continues to bring its family values to a new generation. Learn more at ahern.com.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with the longest-serving governor in Nevada history, Governor Bob Miller. You spent a lot of time after you were in office on the board of Wynn Resorts, so I think it's fairly safe to say that you were an expert on the gaming industry. Were you surprised that the governor, Governor Sisolak, extended the no gaming allowed policy for another 2 weeks, when a lot of properties, Wynn especially, Matt Maddox seems to have become the leader really publicly of the gaming industry in Nevada, came out with a whole list of all the things that they were going to do in terms of making the property safe for both the employees and for the customers. Other properties said the same thing. MGM talked about opening up Bellagio and New York, New York. Treasure Island and Circus Circus were underway. They were hoping perhaps as early as the 20th or the 25th. What do you think's going on there?
Well, I think Governor Sisolak has a very difficult job in front of him, and he's been handling it very well. I don't want to second guess him. I don't have the experts talking in my ear that he does. He has consistently indicated that his primary concern is the health and safety of Nevada citizens, and he was looking for a window where there was a steady decrease in reported cases, which can be helpful, but can't be fully determinative because we can't test everybody yet, which is part of the shortcomings and the differential opinions of how the federal government's dealing with it. He very possibly is waiting to see what spike, if anything, happens from opening up restaurants and other hair salons and places that were closed for a while as well, to see what the effect of that is. because the big test is going to come from casinos. And the two biggest areas where you attract crowds are hotels and casinos and sporting events. We just saw NASCAR started spectatorless races yesterday to try and see what to do. And we see that the major sports leagues are all trying to figure out when they can come back for training or what they're going to do with this or next season. Confusion in states, varying difference of opinion about opening schools and places where there would be a lot of people put together, in this case, children. So without knowing what information he's getting, but assuming that he's acting as he has, putting health and safety in front, I would assume that's the basis of his decision to delay it a little longer.
Does it concern you that the longer we go without reopening casinos in the state, even with the limited amount of patrons, that there are some casino companies that could be on the edge of, just falling apart fiscally?
Well, any kind of economic downturn, and certainly this is one artificially created by health issues. We don't want to have our primary business not operating for any protracted period of time. But the same token, it's the biggest risk. So if you're going to place health and safety in the forefront, which I think I would if I was in his position, and he has stated if that is his position, I think is a good thing. But when is the perfect balance? We won't only know till after the fact when we're all armchair quarterbacks.
Exactly. All right, let's take another break and we'll be back with Governor Miller after this timeout.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. At Design Outdoor, we specialize in all hardscapes, pavers, and walls you'll need for everything, from wonderful small yards to full-blown outdoor living. And we only refer the best contractors to make your vision a reality. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and because I represent men in all family law matters, women often call me gender traitor, woman hater, and even disgusting. So why represent men and target myself with these offensive monikers? It's simple. Children with fathers in their lives are 6 times less likely to drop out of school, 15 times less likely to go to prison, and 5 times less likely to commit suicide. So ladies, you can hate me, but please love your children more than you hate their fathers.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. A lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Governor Bob Miller, the longest serving governor in Nevada history. One of the things that's come up a lot is discussion about diversification, that we've seen diversification to an extent in northern Nevada. Gaming is now down to about a little over a third of the business activity. But in Las Vegas, no matter how much diversification you get, gaming is still always going to be the major industry, is it not?
Yeah, gaming is and will always remain our primary industry. There's a lot of collateral businesses that thrive off of gaming. In terms of supplies and other processes that are necessary to keep gaming ahead. But it's a statewide effort and always has been to diversify the economy as much as possible. The governor's office on economic development works very hard on that. I know I've had some interaction with them on some foreign countries, companies, coming into Nevada, and you want to diversify as much as possible. But we're seeing a resurgence of some building prior to COVID-19, some new hotels coming up and some renovated hotels in Southern Nevada. Now that's all going to be modified because they're going to have delays waiting to readjust the interior and make it safe for people to come there.
Last quick question here. We've got about 15 seconds. How many years do you think it's going to take before Nevada is going to come back to pre-COVID levels?
Johnny Carson used to have part of his show where, you know, they had the mystery man give that answer. And I'll have to defer to Johnny Carson on the old Tonight Show because I have no idea.
Okay.
But he can.
That was Carnac the Magnificent. Okay. Governor Miller, it's an honor to have you back on the program, sir. Thank you. And please give our best to our former First Lady, Sandy. We all appreciate both of you. Thank you.
I will. Thank you, Sam.
And we'll be right back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
You can now watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and search for Nevada Newsmakers and become a subscriber. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.